Blog Talk Radio.
I am the girl of Blog Talk Radio regarding the justice going on in this country, the United States of America. All the things that are going on in this country that has brought this country down with full of corruption, lies, deception, division, and all other things in and out of the penal justice system. We have people running this country who are acting like children. We have Democrats and we have Republicans going after each other like they're still in high school. We have people that are claiming every time they make a wrong decision, doing it on behalf of the American people. The American people have not had a voice in any of this dysfunction, this chaos, this childish behavior. But we have an opportunity becoming more assertive and more involved in the decisions that are being made in this country around criminal justice, around the economy, around the racism, around the division, and around so many other things. We're being looked at right now in a global view of so many countries out there that either look at the United States of America as a means to obtain a lot of money, or they're looking at America as the evil force that's causing problems in their countries, looking at mass incarceration in our penal system, whereas no other country in the world has mass incarceration, nor do they have life and life without parole sentencing, unless the case involves severe terrorism, mass incarceration, and serial killings. In our prisons in the United States of America, consisting of the 2.3 million men, women, and youth in prisons, jails, and detention centers, involves wrongfully convicted. It involves victims who became offenders. It involves first-time offenders. It is involving kids. I don't know if any of you heard about the six-year-old kid that took him to school and shot a teacher in the torso. The teacher survived, but now they are deciding whether or not to prosecute a child. But they're also looking at now charging the mother. This is so unrealistic. It's so dysfunctional. When we have a government that's going to be looking at children 6 years of age, we have people in the penal system who committed their crimes at the age of 14, 15, 16, 17, right up until 24 years of age. But we have children now elderly or older in the penal system. Some of those adults went in when they were 14 years old, when they were 12, when they were 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Now many of them are wheelchairs with dementia, with Alzheimer's, terminally ill, in wheelchairs. Why are they still behind those prison walls? And why is the Department of Youth Services not getting more involved in putting these children in Department of Youth facilities, not adult prisons? Why is it the Department of Mental Health has not gotten involved? American Association, Psychological Association. These are supposed to be organizations that deal specifically with mental illnesses and with addictions. And yet, they're not getting involved. Let's also look at please, let's also look at some of these other things. We have to come up with solutions to reduce the statistics of those behind the prison walls. We have to look at these issues. This cannot go on. And if it does, we can't blame the government. We have to blame ourselves because we already know what the government is all about. We already know. It's a little war between both parties. And they have in their parties some of their own who are preventing from moving forward by delaying their votes or not voting at all. Just as we have advocates in this nation, advocates of all sorts, for all causes. Some may be doing it for their own motives, while others are sincerely doing it because they're trying to help and they're trying to make a difference. We have an opportunity to make major changes. And again, I've been talking about this upcoming event in June. National event of calling, emailing, and writing letters to the media, to legislative members, and to governors in each and every state of the United States of America. This will involve all of you getting involved to make phone calls, write letters, and send emails. We have to look at our media in the United States of America, who are going to other countries and getting involved in their affairs when we in this country have some major issues that need to be addressed and the media needs to get involved. Not just interviewing people on the outside of the prison walls, but those especially behind the prison walls, many who were wrongfully convicted. Again, many of who were first-time offenders, victims who became offenders, adolescents full of anger and frustration because there's no one there for them, no one to support them, no role models in this country because everyone is about being somebody. Everyone is about having power or fame or money. Let our adolescents, our children, our toddlers, our young people, we have let them down immensely. We have let them down because we have failed to come together to address a lot of these issues. We have run down buildings in the communities, drug-infested areas. Has anyone thought to use these facilities, these run-down buildings, to repair them, to come together as a community or agency to fix these places up, turn them into homeless shelters, rooms for each and every individual, that they're not in the streets and they're not just in a homeless shelter in the night and out in the morning. It's true. These homeless shelters are getting all kinds of funding to bring the homeless into inside to have a roof over their head at night. But what are they doing with them during the day? Why aren't they bringing in people to help them? There are so many people that want to volunteer. So many different areas. There are students in college going to school for law and paralegal, criminal justice, who want to volunteer in organizations that are helping others. There are technical high schools, technical schools, where they are getting all of this verbal teaching when they could be out there with their professors, teacher, whomever, fixing up places, hands-on experience. There are so many people who are living in ghettos who could be renovating their apartments or renovating their homes to make it look in the environment look much better. We wonder why we have mass incarceration when we can be looking at all these things that have not been done in all of these years to discourage adolescents, to discourage the youth and so many others in our country. We could have the media going out and talking to the average citizen and not just those who they want to bring on because those people have some kind of titles. The news has to be repetitive. The talk about Donald Trump has gotten out of hand, and I'm sick of hearing it. Because if they're not going to do anything about it, then stop talking about it. The same with Joe Biden and his son and all of this other BS. People are talking and talking and talking. And that's why these kids are just going to prison. That's why they're joining gangs. That's why they're getting in all kinds of trouble. Because the focus is on all of these time people who have so much power that they're not being held accountable, and they don't expect to be held accountable, and they won't be held accountable. We have people serving life and life without parole, and even on death row, who have done some kind of offense or crime to the country or in the country. And yet, January 6th gets a slap on the hand or gets freed. What kind of government is leading this country? A fearful government or a corrupt government or a government that just don't care and want to take time to go out in the streets and talk to the homeless, talk to the people, give them some kind of education and knowledge so they know how to treat the American people. There are people in homeless shelters that once lawyers. I remember years ago taking a client to an NA meeting and an AA meeting who had a problem with drugs and alcohol. And there was a lawyer that spoke. He was 12 years sober. And he spoke about how he ended up homeless, how he lost practice, his license to practice. He had a severe alcohol problem. And it was so bad that his family left him. His friend tried to tell him he needed help, and he turned against his friend. Until one night, he was in a club, and he was so drunk when he went to leave, he opened the wrong door, and he fell down the stairs and nearly hit his head on a boiler, hot water boiler. That's when he knew he needed help. We have people in homeless shelters all over the country who fell because of drugs and alcohol, addiction. Yet many of them have found a way to overcome, but there are still many in these homeless shelters around the country, in these areas, who could do so much good. If the media would start looking at those who have fallen, if the media was to go out into the community and into the prisons and talk to a lot of these educated people who have stumbled, instead of taking one-sided stories and reporting half-assed information. June is coming up. We need to do something about it. We need to do something about it. And if our legislative members, our politicians, believe that they are too good to stoop down to the level of many of us, to find out what the truth is. There are so many educated people in the communities who unfortunately also have loved ones who have stumbled and have ended up in prison. Loved ones who are wrongfully or were wrongfully convicted in prison. Many first-time offenders, many who have some kind of education, psychological or spiritual or substance abuse. Whatever the case may be, no one goes into the prison to talk to them about that. They rarely go into the prison to find out what's going on when their civil rights are violated, extremely violated, medically violated, psychologically. We need a government that's going to take the time to go and visit with those who are really in need. Not just to focus on their peers, not just to focus on others who are wealthy, not just to focus on others who are getting away with murder because of the wealth. regardless of their race, regardless of their age, regardless of anything, because we have a severe problem in this country. We have something coming up in June. I've been speaking about it. Dorothy D'Agostino's been speaking about it. Others have been speaking about it. Others have been sharing information on resources. And when I say resources, I'm talking about media contacts, legislative members' contacts, the governor's contacts. We need to get this information out so that in June, as of the 1st of June, we can all start making phone calls, writing letters, and emailing to all of these individuals and groups and organizations to get them more involved and to let them hear the citizens of this country, the American people they speak so much of, who are always in agreement with everything they do, but they don't ask the American people how they feel or what they feel. Now, Dorothy, are you going to know anyone who can hear something about?
I'm on the static.
Okay. So
can
you
hear
want to
me?
Say, yes. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine, but there's
okay.
Static in the background, and I don't know where it's coming from. Good
I
afternoon,
don't either.
Everyone. I am happy to be included in this June folly that we are doing, and we're working very hard, and we have taken the time to put legislators on the docket along with our governors, and to write and to email and to call every day in the month of June. If you would get a notebook and just write down 5 or 6 people out of different states to call on the programs that we want addressed, mass incarceration, mental abuse, mental illness, life without parole, life sentences, medical, the abuse of the correctional officers, also try to get that they have to go through anger management at least twice a year for them to be up to date of how to treat people with respect. You give respect, you receive respect. If you don't give respect, how are you supposed to receive respect? Our inmates, our loved ones, are going through hell with the abuse, peers, with the correctional officers, the staff, not being respected, not given respect, and they don't want to give respect themselves. It's a two-way street. You have to do together, and we have to work together as a whole. So please stand by us and what we are doing, our platform, what we want addressed in those topics. If you find another topic that is important, let's address that too. It's not just what Leona and I have written down as topics. You are the backbone of our loved ones. They have known, and they need to know that they are loved and they are not alone. Let's stick up, pull up the big britches, suck it in, and let's go forward in June. We need you all together and be together with us as a whole community. I am glad to say that Santos in Florida is not having a very good day. And we need people like that away from committing the wrong direction and the wrong path. So let's get legislation straightened out, the government straightened out. Let them know we care. We are tired of what they are doing to our lives. Let's bring back America. Let's bring back the USA as a whole. and don't throw it away. We had a good thing going with the United States. We've lost everything. Let's bring it back. Let's prove that we're not a bunch of scaredy cats. Let's stand up to the plate. That's all I want to say, Leona, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy. And I want to also mention that we are going to be taking all of this to the United Nations. I've been sending information around to contact the United Nations, telephone, email, writing letters, through the whole month of June to let them know that we would like the United Nations to get involved in some of this as well. The issues that we really want to see happen is to defund. If we defund a lot of these organizations, Department of Corrections, even Department of Mental Health, if we have to, the Department of Corrections and a lot of these other organizations and law enforcement, we need to start defunding until we see some progress, until we see some positive things happening. Because every single day we're hearing, even the NRA, what's happening right now with the gun control, it seems like they don't want to do anything about it. All we are asking for is that these people that apply for gun permits, that they receive a psychological evaluation, because a psychological evaluation can prevent a lot of murders in this country. People are buying guns, a lot of them, that have psychological problems. A lot of them. People might be normal or seem normal to us or to others, but they could be going through a lot. And there's a lot of people who are seriously depressed and have plans to either buy a gun to commit suicide or to buy a gun to commit homicide. And maybe in many cases, that can be detected in a psychological evaluation, preventing a lot of these mass murders, preventing a lot of suicides, preventing a lot of homicides. So when you make these calls to whomever you make them to, and hopefully to NRA as well, but to the media especially, to the governors, to the legislative members, to defund until we start seeing some progress in controlling the guns. So there are so many things. We are focusing on the penal system. We're focusing on abolishing, ending the death penalty. We're focusing on abolishing life and life without parole, with the exception of, as I mentioned earlier, serious terrorism, serial killing, and mass murders. Every other country in the world does not have mass incarceration, nor do they have sentencing beyond 25 years, unless extreme. We're also looking at bringing in independent medical providers and psychological providers, bringing in independent, because once a provider is contracted with the Department of Corrections, then they're pretty much taking their advice or recommendations or orders on how to treat an individual or individuals who are suffering from some kind of medical need and have to go to a prison hospital for surgery or have to purchase from outside the penal system. And they're making it impossible now for people to purchase medical or even magazines outside of the penal system. They're trying to keep all the monies within the penal system. As many of you, I'm sure, have seen or heard or know about it from experience, those of you who have checked into it. We're also looking at ending solitary confinement. It is a known fact that solitary confinement has resulted in damaging psychological effects and eventual suicides. It has caused severe damage to many incarcerated who have spent months and years in solitary confinement, and restrictive housing is the same as solitary confinement. So we need to stop this cruel and abusive treatment of human beings. This is a major issue. We need to denounce in the prison for abusing their powers, and the prison is the overseer. They There needs to be oversight and accountability. Defund prisons until there is transparency in the information between prisoners and the DOC. Educational program for all incarcerated individuals. The reason I say this is because many people are targeted in the prison, and they're prevented from taking any kind of programs, educational work, or any other programs at all. And there's a meaning behind it. There's a reason, a motive behind it. And this is what everyone needs to know. That motive is to prevent them from going anywhere. If they should get an opportunity to go before a parole board and they have nothing to show for all the years they've been incarcerated, naturally, they're going to be rejected. And so we need to make sure that when we make these calls, that we tell them we want mandatory programs for each and every individual incarcerated. Those who are going into prison uneducated will perhaps then have some education when they come out. Those who are already educated and want to go for higher educational programs, they will have an opportunity without being denied or rejected. Again, we need to look at mandatory programs for these incarcerated, whether they be men, women, or youth. We have to look at their opportunities. We also have to look at the restoration of prisoners' rights to vote. The prisoners around the country, United States citizens, should never have had their rights taken from them simply because they went to prison. They are American citizens. They have the right to vote. If they have done something against their country, as they did in the January 6th insurrection, I can understand it. But this is not the case. And those people that did what they did in January 6th, they have not had their rights taken from them. Many are slapped on the hand and released from going to prison. So we need to look at the restoration of our citizens of America. We need to look at the prisons themselves and how they just throw everyone in prison like cattle and lock them in and store away the key. We need to look at categorizing prisoners according to their ages, according to their crimes. We need to put the elderly with the elderly lifers, the elderly with the elderly who are soon to come out, the middle age, 21 to 50, in separate prisons or separate blocks. They should be held in separate prisons in specific areas of the facility. We need to look at the youth being held in housing facilities with other youth, separate from gang members their age. There needs to be separate prisons for gang members. We need to look at a lot of these things because these things are not happening. But we're not asking, when you make these calls, we're not asking that you address all these issues. What we're asking is that you address any issues or all issues that pertain to you or a loved one. I'm going to put on you. Pertain to you or a loved one or someone you know. Because unless we do something, again, I don't care if you have a relative in prison or if you're just a human being that has compassion for others, victims and offenders, that you remain neutral and trying to help the victims while actually trying to help a lot of these people incarcerated who were psychologically disturbed, ill, or whatever the case may be at the time of their crime. We need to remain neutral, just as our government officials, our government leaders, just as the media, because this is a problem. People cannot remain neutral in this country, and the media refuses to meet with the incarcerated. Legislative members refuses to go or haven't gone into the prison to meet with these incarcerated individuals who are crying out for help. People hear about riots taking place in prisons all the time, and they hear about strikes, people going on food strikes. These people that are rioting and these people going on food strikes, if the media would go in, I'm sure the media would find out for themselves, not just listening to those overseeing, but to listen to the individuals in these riots or in these food strikes. Many of them have started riots because they're not being heard. They're not being heard. Those who are on food strikes because they're trying to bring a message to the public, the outside. So we hear about food strikes and riots, but we don't really know what's going on because we have government leaders and media that don't go in to find out from the prisoners. They take the word of whom they're talking to, those in power, those overseeing, those who are at their level or above. Those who they want to stay on the good side of, because those are the ones that were supposed to be enforcing the law. Those who are supposed to be doing all the things that they're not really doing. But we see the media gets benefits because the media is not reporting. So you don't hear anything about any of the media getting stopped for DUI or some kind of substance addictions or whatever. You don't hear about it. Think about it. And very rarely do you hear in politics. Yes, Dorothy just mentioned this DeSantis. She just mentioned him. But at the same time, the reason he's been looked at very thoroughly is because of his lies. All the lies that he talked about, he didn't get those degrees. He didn't get a lot of things that he was supposed to have claimed to have gotten. And then you have, of course, you have these politicians that are very, very wealthy that are not even forced to go to trial when they're accused of something. They don't have to appear. They send their lawyers and it's that easy. But think about these incarcerated individuals that can't afford lawyers and those that have paid outrageous prices, fees for lawyers, only to be deceived by lawyers themselves. And Dorothy, if you have anything you want to say as I'm talking, feel free to jump in. But these are some of the issues.
How is the network? Is it okay?
Everything's fine at this end.
Okay. I want to say that please, everyone that is listening, come on aboard with us and fight what should be fought about with change in the system, change in our politics, change in the government, change in the legislations. Let's all come together. Let's work together. Let's be their mouth for those inside that doesn't have a mouth. Let's fight for what is right. Let's bring back the good old USA the way it used to be years and years and years ago. Let's stop giving a bunch of money. Bring back the good times that we had. We are in a basket case of problems. Let's get out of it. Let's fight together. Let's show everyone this can be done together and not alone.
I guarantee.
Want to also... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What were you saying?
Please finish what you were saying. I was clearing my throat.
I want to also address that our loved ones are getting abused by the correctional officers, and they hide it under the rug. This has to be brought out. They don't need to be abused. They're abused enough being incarcerated and losing their rights and their dignity. Let's bring second chances back and show society it isn't a mistake bringing them forward and letting them get addressed by the parole board and not have people on the panel on the parole board that's inside the DOC. Get people on the parole board that is outside of the DOC. And let's get everything in order. You can address me at DGEAN, that's J-E-A-N Angel, A-N-G-E-L 04 at yahoo.com. Also, you can call me at 215-858-0095. thank Leona for bringing the talk show to everyone that we can hear what is going on inside. We are their voices. Let's bring it to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. I am going to hopefully see that a lot of, or hear that a lot of people who have been following what's going on, who have been listening, and the groups out there who have said that they will help with the research, those that are helping with the research, those who are sharing all the information with others, I want to see if with all the work that they're doing and the work that we're doing, that we're going to see some real positive historical information, attention from the media. And hopefully we'll see that they are starting to do something that they have never done before. And that is to address the issue by visiting with the incarcerated individuals in the prison and abroad. The update, I'm sorry, abroad. This shows how much we've been working on this because sometimes it can be pretty exhausting when you're doing so much research and trying to run an organization and trying to recruit and promote and do all these things. So this is why it's so very important for everyone to get involved. Unfortunately, we're not getting the attention of those who a lot of times complain about their loved ones being abused or violated or ignored. But unless you do something about it, it's going to continue. And a lot of you might think that you don't have to do anything because other advocates are taking care of it, that they're advocating on behalf of all prisoners, so that's going to cover your loved one as well. But if everybody felt that way, then there'd be nothing being done and no one making calls or writing letters or emailing. In today's day, you don't have to be out there protesting. You don't have to be out there doing a lot of unnecessary protesting or rallies. All you need to do is come together in unity to send out notices via email, via the letter writing, or making phone calls. When you call, all you need to do is say, I am calling because I am tired of the injustices going on in this country. I think this needs to be addressed or this needs to be addressed. Tell them what it is that you're thinking about that needs to be changed or needs to be stopped. Your injustice, your concern about any injustice is just as important as our concern about the penal system and law enforcement. So if you have to call, if you want to call about anything that's going on, even if it's the cost of living going up, the expenses of living going up, make the call. Make the call or write the letter. Send the emails, anything. Because everybody always has something to talk about because of all the injustices going on in the United States of America. So you don't have to focus just on the injustices that we're seeing or that we're going to be calling about or addressing or writing or emailing about. It can be any injustice that you yourself have seen or experienced or know of. It's that simple. We need to bring this country to a level where other countries are going to respect us. I am going to, and I mentioned this the other day, so next Wednesday, Donna Wynant, founder of Families, Friends, and Individuals for the Mentally Ill, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, will be hosting the radio show. Next Wednesday, we'll be hosting the radio show to talk about, and she's bringing on all her guests to talk about the mental health issues in the United States and the penal system as well, and as well mainly at these hospitals such as Bridgewater State Hospital, prison, and others. So join her next Wednesday, I believe it's the 17th, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, to listen to all that's going on. It is the 17th. To listen to all that's going on with what they've been doing to address the psychological and mental illnesses in the penal system. May 11th, which is the day after, at 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, Mariam Jacobs from the Netherlands will be coming on to talk about, and she is a psychosocial therapist, an author of a recently released book, and also a volunteer in one of the prisons in the Netherlands, and someone who has actually been into the United States prisons in the United States, and she has been advocating for others as well. And that will be on the 18th of May. On the 24th of May, at 12 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, we will be interviewing, his name is Frans Duod, D-U-O-D, from Amsterdam, who was a 27-year veteran, warden in his country, and spent many events in the United States prisons. He's been in the Massachusetts prisons. He's been in the New York prisons. He's currently still working with advocates in Texas. He will be coming on the 24th, again, at 12 o'clock Eastern time, which is 6 o'clock their time. And Mariam Jacobs will also be on with him. We will be talking to them and hearing what they have to say about the United States penal system compared to their own. So I want everyone to join us next Wednesday, next Thursday, the following Tuesday. We will be talking as we are today, and Wednesday of next week, the week after, will be again the people from Amsterdam. We have people coming on, and this is why they're coming on, because they know of this event that we're going to have in June. And I've invited them to come on just before the event so they can talk about their countries, so that they can talk about the comparison between the countries in the United States, and also so they can talk about their experiences in the United States penal system, criminal justice system. So I hope everybody will listen when they come on at that time. We are trying to do as much as we can to start challenging our United States government to start looking at these other countries and falling in sync with their sentencing guidelines, with their rehabilitation programs, with the care and compassion that they have to work with other countries in the way they do it. We understand there's been politicians, there's been prison officials, there have been people that have actually gone over to Norway to investigate, to find out how their successes have come about, and to try to get information from them so that they can establish such means, such training in the United States penal system. If they're serious about it, we should start here pretty soon about a lot of good things that are happening in the prisons. Because prisons in Norway and the Netherlands and Germany and other places in those countries, they have had so much success that their recidivism rate is so down. And they have treated their incarcerated individuals as human beings. They have called them by first names. They don't call them by numbers. They have treated them with respect, and they have received respect back. The recidivism rate is low to nothing. The training, the rehabilitative programs that they have, the educational, everything is top notch. And the facilities they've housed them in are not Nazi-type facilities as in the United States. Not Nazi-type, but they're dormitory-type. They're not as strict. They're not as inhumane as we have in the United States of America. So we need to look at a lot of these things, because there's so many things that we can do to improve the United States of America. We can fall in sync with other countries and regain the respect, their respect for us. And there's also going to be another event coming up in July, which I hope everyone will support that one as well, because we're going to be supporting them. And hopefully, as they said, they will be supporting us as well. And that is an event that's going to be taking place in July And the name of it is, it's going to be a rally, but they're also going to be doing the same thing we're going to be doing, and that is making phone calls, letter writing, and emailing the same people in media that we will be doing it with. Their focus is, it's a National Day of Advocacy, July 22nd, 2023, and their focus is going to be on the high rates of suicides and deaths, the denied educational, religious, and vocational access, weeks without any chance to leave their cells, limited or no food at all, cell floors wet with human waste and urine from flooding and cell fires, lack of access to outside recreation, inadequate medical care, and they're going to be asking everyone to mass mail the governors and legislative offices with personal accounts of tortures, phone, petition, rallies, and more. Mandela stated, torture by my name is still torture. We must stand up on masses to address harsh solitary confinement practices. We are calling all organizations to come together to push for change on a more national level. The United Nations stand minimum rules for the treatment of prisoners, as the Nelson Mandela rules adopted in 2015 offer guidelines for ending inhumane practices of prolonged isolation. The Mandela rules call for United Nations member states to prohibit indefinite or prolonged solitary confinement beyond 15 consecutive days. For all incarcerated people, a responsiveness to these irregular atrocities has led many confined in this manner to embark on a national day of activism. This is being put on by Emily Helton of ignitejustice.org. And I hope also Brittany Robinson. I hope that everybody will contact Emily, that they will go to Injustice, and they will also try to work with them and try to find out how you can volunteer, how you can help with this upcoming July event as well. So I'm asking everyone to please consider finally becoming the organization, finally becoming what everybody was supposed to be in the first place. We, the government. I hope everybody will join forces to start making positive changes. It does not involve violence. It does not involve protest. All it involves is unity in making mass calls, letter writing, and emails. So I want to, at this point in time, I want to ask if anybody wants to call in, please call in. The number is 657-383-1630. Again, the call-in number is 657-383-1630. You can talk about anything you want to talk about. You can talk about ways you want to help. You can talk about criticizing. You can talk about your own situation, your loved one's situation. Talk about anything. But unless we start speaking out, we're not going to see progress. We're not going to see rehabilitation. We're not going to see success rates. We're going to continue to see a dysfunctional United States of America. So, Dorothy, I'm going to ask if there's anything, any last things you'd like to say, because we have another 7 minutes, really. We're going to be closing down in 7 minutes. So if you have anything you want to say within the next 7 minutes, once again, audience, you're going to find all over Facebook the various groups pertaining to prisoners, families, friends, advocates of the penal system. You can go on, you can type in prisoner advocacy, you can type in prisoners, prisoner groups or whatever. Start getting involved. Start getting involved. I'm the type of person, I don't like a lot of talk, especially when we see there's a need for reform or we see there's a need for change, positive changes. We need to come together. I don't care if people don't agree or if they do agree, but do something. Don't just sit back and let this dysfunction continue. Don't sit back and let more suicides take place, more homicides take place. Don't sit back and let more children be with parents. Don't sit back and let, you know, there's, I want to bring up one other factor too, if anyone is able to help. There is an incarcerated individual who in 2015, I believe, or 2017, murdered a man who had been sexually abusing him since childhood. He got 15 years, and he is due to be going up before a hearing in the next few weeks. If he has lived in this country since he was a child, he's attended all the all the United States schools, and his family, his whole family has been here since he was a child. He is now in his almost 40 years of age. I am asking if any of you know of an immigration lawyer that's willing to do pro bono work with this individual and his family to keep him here, because he is going to be deported to a country in Central America that he does not even know, because he was here since a child. He killed his predator, and he didn't get a life. He didn't get 25 years. He got 15 years. But if he goes back, if he's deported to this country, he will be in a country he's not familiar with, a country he does not know, and it's sad that he should become victimized again. So if anybody is able to help in this situation, please call and let us know. You can find me or email me at NVO, N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, O as in Oscar, P R as in Rita, E as in Evolve, S as in Samuel, @gmail.com. Please let me know if there's any way you can help. We're trying to help this young man before he does get deported, and hopefully he won't get deported with your help as well. This is somebody that became a victim who became an offender. This is only one of many in the country. But if you can help in any way, please let me know so that I can let others know. Thank you so much for that. Once again, we're going to be closing down in a few minutes. So last minute, Dorothy, if you'd like to say any last minute things, please feel free to.
I will give my email address again. It's djeanangel04@yahoo.com. My telephone number is 215-858-0095. Let's all help together. And let's bring second chances and bring our loved ones back into society and know they are important. We can do this, and they can have a new life back into society and show society they may have made a mistake, but they are going forward. And they're bettering themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And I just want to let everybody know that there's a lot of sad situations in our country. People might look at prisoners as all being prisoners of abuses, all being prisoners of hardcore criminal or whatever the case may be. I've been advocating for the last 27 years. I started out for my own reason because of a loved one inside. But throughout the years, I have seen so many others going through the same or worse, going through something that they have no control over, going through something that no one is willing to help them with. And as a result, many have committed suicide. We're trying to prevent people, more prisoners, from committing suicide. We're trying to prevent more of them from giving up. There's always hope. And if we just give them a little bit of that hope, if we just try just a little bit, because I know that if you do something good for someone else, I know it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. I'm sure that many of you have done something, probably just for a friend or a family member. But try to go beyond, because when it mentions in the Bible about being good to your neighbors, doing to your neighbors as you want them to do unto you, they're not talking about the person that lives next door, simply. They're talking about people you don't know, people that are in this community, people that are in the state, in the country, in the world, that you don't know that's in need of help. I'm sure you've heard about the Good Samaritan, of the person that had been beaten or left in the streets or whatever and was dying in the street. And a priest walked by him, looked at him and kept going. A pastor walked by and looked at him and kept going. And it was a stranger who was going by and saw him and put him on his horse and took him to the doctor. And he told the doctor he had to leave, but he said, if when I come back this way again, if you need any more money to help him, let me know and I will pay it. I'm sure you heard that in the Bible. So let's not be like the priest that walked by or the pastor or the stranger that walked by, but be the stranger that stopped to help. Be the stranger that can feel good about what they did. Whether it be somebody that's in the prison being abused, somebody that's being kept in solitary confinement on a restrictive block, someone that has been shifted around from prison to prison, put on blocks they don't need to be on, mixed in with all kinds of other prisoners. Double selling is something that needs to stop, because people are committing suicide or being killed because they're being forced to double sell. These double selling situations are not to help prisoners, and it's not because there's no single cells, because throughout the years that I've been working with the incarcerated, I know that there have been hundreds of cells that have been empty. They keep them empty because they want to keep bringing people in, because these large corporations that are making all kinds of money on these prisoners. These large corporations that are making billions of dollars, while prisoners that are fortunate enough to get prison jobs in the work programs are being paid less than a dollar a day. Working 8 hours a day, making a dollar a day. $1, not for an hour, each hour, but for a day. So we need to also address the single cell status in these prisons. And maybe there's some people that wouldn't mind being double cell, but they need to look at those that want to be double cell and those that don't. There are some that psychologically that cannot cope with being in a cell with others. So we have to look at all these angles as well. So again, we're not going to continue to talk about these issues, but we do want to have your assistance, your participation, in what we're going to do to try to make positive changes. There was a prison guard one time that saw some things on Facebook about prison correctional officials. Correctional officers, and he reached out and he said he knows that goes on in the prisons, but he was not one of them. And some man responded and said to him, "You're right, you might be one of the good ones, but you're wrong when you said you're not like them. Because if you were seeing all this injustice and not reporting it, you're just as bad as them." So we do have good correctional officers. We do have good prison officials. We do have good police officers, but we have correctional officers, prison officials, and we have law enforcement that are good, but they're not reporting their corrupt peers. And I want to tell you something. These corrupt peers of theirs that they're protecting, those corrupt peers are not concerned about them, because if they were, they'd try to be more like them instead of trying to be the opposite and getting away with it. If they were really sincere about their good correctional officers, prison officials and police, they would try to do the right thing, not continue the wrong thing. Because what they're doing that's wrong has caused so many innocent and good police officers, correctional officers and prison officials to be killed because of the hatred that exists in this world, in this country today, because of all the injustices by the DOC and by prison and law enforcement. So think about that. If you're one of the good ones, think about what the bad ones that you consider a peer is doing to you and causing you and your good peers to go through. Think about it. It's like me associating with somebody that's disliked by everybody because of their corruption or their ignorant ways. I don't associate with somebody like that. And I don't get involved in their businesses with others. It's none of my business what they do. I look at myself in the mirror every morning, not somebody else. And I want to see somebody in that mirror that's a godly person trying to do the right thing. Not someone that's just trying to make friends because of their egos. And I just want to bring that up to everyone. So once again, I will say, anyone that wants to help in any way at all, to contact me or Dorothy or anyone else on social media that you see that's doing something, contact us to let us know you're interested in how you want to help. I can be reached at 781-300-8981. And we're going to be closing again. Wish everyone a good day, and I hope everyone has a good conscience. We're going to end this episode. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a consistent advocate and want to voice your opinion. And again, let your son know, Shane, we thank him for being on yesterday, and we thank him for his discussion about mental illnesses in prison and how they need to be addressed. I hope that he will be able to come on next Wednesday when Donna Wynette and her guests are on from Families, Friends, and Individuals Mental Ill, so that Shane can also speak to the audience about his concerns in that area as well. So we thank everyone
thank you,
for joining
Donna.
Us. Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you. He was a little shy, but then he got warmed up.
You know what? They're not used to being able to voice their opinion. And when they're able to, that's what happens. They feel comfortable with it. And anyone in the audience that has
yes.
a loved one inside that wants to be able to call in, if you can have them call in to you, through you or whatever, let them do so, because this radio show does not allow for us to accept calls from a system like that. But if they can call in any way at all, let them know they're welcome to come on. We'd love to hear from them. We'd love to give them a voice, which unfortunately the media has not allowed or has not done. Our legislative members, once again, in Massachusetts, there have been a few of them that have been going in to the prisons at least twice so far a year. So we're hoping that they will continue, and we're hoping that they will recruit other legislative members, government leaders, to do the same. That's the only way we're going to see a positive change in our penal system and with this injustice that goes on in America. So thank you all once again. We are now in episode.